previously. In fact, 2 years ago, he claimed to have been responsible for cooling off our conference in California by means of radionic weather modification. Some of us were thinking about asking him this year if he had anything to do with the conditions here in Houston. Pete's experimental work has also been concerned with argon accumulators and design and application of radionic instruments. Today, he's presenting color, vibration, and radionics, extremely low frequencies, to light bands. Pete?
Thank you. First of all, again, welcome to the 1979 Psychotronics Convention. You should all have a copy of a form of which is reproduced on the screen here. There are extra ones around, so just grab them off the extra places. I've got three more left for those that absolutely do not have any more. Some extra ones there? Okay. Them that don't has, trade with them that has too many. Okay. Now, have we got extras anywhere?
Yes, sir.
Okay, there's an extra there. There's an extra there. And...
Hey, before we start the magnetics, you might ask if anyone here has a tendency toward epilepsy, and if they do, we'll avoid two of the specific frequencies.
Okay, fine. Let's see, I'll give you the right off of the top here.
Thank
That's
you.
The last one I have. Okay. Two more. Everybody have now? Okay. What we're going to attempt to do first is show relationships between sound and color. If we can show you in your minds, to your own satisfactions, that there are relationships between sound and color, then I think you can perceive that we are affected by the whole spectra of frequency vibrations, all the way from zero, no vibration, up to the very highest cosmic rays and all that it includes. So to start with, take a look at this. You've got a place for your name and address. That's optional. You don't have to put this down if you don't want. Your sun sign, that's a related observation as far as other data that I'll pass on later. If you would care for further data on this testing, go ahead and check yes or no. And what we're going to do is play sounds that supposedly represent colors. And you are to perceive whether indeed these do correspond to a color in your mind. Now first I'm going to play the sound without color. Some of you that have already heard this, it's a work started by Dr. Valerie Hunt at UCLA. You can write on there that you already know what it's about and or go through with it again just to try to make the correlations in your mind. Part two of the same test will be sound and color combined. And then I'm going to show you the relationships that we've established between color and sound so that you can see that there is a definite correlation between the two in your own dealings with your own life. For those that work with radionics, to be able to combine them, to use them, to help people. And if nothing else, just to have a better awareness of your surroundings, all of the different bombardments that we are subjected to in the form of radio waves, light, color shock, sound shock, and the discos, and so forth and so on. So I'm going to turn the overhead projector off for now and just get yourself a little relaxed, slightly meditative, and I'm going to play this tape all the way through. Some might find it slightly painful. We can adjust the volume if we have to. But what I would primarily like is for each new sound, write down next to the number what color you feel it is, or combination of colors. For each new sound that you hear, and this is a sample of the sound, just a second, put down what that sound looks like as far as color. What color correspondence it would have in your mind.
Well, do we use it, you know, the basic seven colors?
Whatever you feel, okay? As it's coming through all the way to the back, is it loud enough? Okay? Feel the color from the sound. And write down what you think it is. If you have any feeling at all. If you don't, put an X there. I think everybody has a fair idea of that they either do or do not have a feeling about that sound, what color it would represent. So we're going to skip to the next one, I hope. This is the second one. Giving over to the third one. go a little further here. Okay, this is number six. Last one. You should have some feeling for the sound as colors. You should be able to relate in some small way the sounds and the colors that they might represent. Okay, now what we're going to do is we're going to play sound and show colors together. We're going to play each sound and show a series of different colors and see if you can feel or sense the relationship between them by seeing them together to make it easier, for example, than just hearing it. And I'm going to ask somebody that I know already knows what this is, Orion, to turn my projector on and turn the color wheel as this plays.
There might be a few people who don't know how these sounds came about.
Okay.
Shall I kind of tell them where they came from?
Fine.
Dr. Valerie Hunt, PhD, is in charge of the kinesiology laboratory.
Bob, why don't you get by the microphone?
Oh, okay.
One of these little rascals here. Testing.
This is the one.
Okay, Dr. Valerie Hunt, PhD, is the person in responsible charge of the kinesiology laboratory at the University of California at Los Angeles, UCLA in Westwood. And she became interested in parapsychological matters a few years ago. She's a very dear friend of mine. And these sounds were made by actually attaching electrodes to human beings, taking myographic readings, the sounds of muscles. The crown chakra, for example, she found an 18 kilohertz signal, which had never been reported before in the medical literature. So she had been working with some highly skilled psychics and aura readers, Rosalind Bruyere, etc., And as Roz saw the colors around the various chakras, Valerie Hunt made the recordings on some of the most advanced electromyographic equipment in the world. And these were the sounds of the actual biological potentials that were being read on the human subjects at the time that the aura reader was seeing the chakras. Is that about right, Orion?
Yes.
Okay, in case you wondered what some of these weird sounds were, you probably noticed a heartbeat behind the tone in about the third track that Peter played. There was a small electrocardiographic EKG signal coming through on the biopotential, so you could hear that in the background. So these were actual physiological recordings being made from human subjects who were exhibiting various color changes in their auras.
Right, and after the initial part of this is done, we'll try to explain some of the relationships that you may already know through other sources. But before we go any further, the best thing to do is get the test out of the way, and to that end, we're going to play this tape all the way through this time, and Orion is going to rotate the color wheel, and you should be able to understand a relationship between a given set of sounds and the color that you see. Okay? And I'll try to keep it from getting too loud. The idea is to find out which one sounds most like the color that you're seeing. Does this sound like purple, violet here? Does it sound like red? Does it sound like white? Okay, now this next one will be the second sound. This next one is the third sound. Okay, I find out we're going to be going over in time, so I'm going to be cutting this as short as possible and still get it all in. You can still take about 5 seconds on each one. This is the next sound. Once around yet on that one? Okay. If we cut into our banquet, they might get very upset at me. So this is number 5.
6. Finally, this is the last one. Could you turn the lights up, please? I'll stop all this noise here, and we'll get back in the realm of white light. One thing I noticed from the very start, that people did see relationships between them. That was first and foremost the most important thing. And so I wanted to see why they saw different things in it. And I found, using radiesthesia and radionics, that people tended to not notice what they needed in color in their own auras. I thought that was very interesting. Okay, before we get any further with the rest of what I have, the last part of this test here, if my artifact man is got his artifacts together. We're going to try a little extra low frequency on a magnetic vector. Now, these took care of sight and sound. Now, direct stimulation of your body using a magnetic source, purely magnetic wave. Everybody's been talking about it. Control from outside sources, so forth and so on. We should warn at the beginning that if anybody has any tendency towards epilepsy, that they shouldn't be here, that this could be slightly psychoactive, and then again, you may not notice a thing. But I can almost guarantee that if you had an EEG hookup, your brainwave would start to lock into this magnetic wave very rapidly. Would you care to, Ken? How are we?
I think we're okay. Maybe we ought to make a disclaimer here.
Okay. Not a bad idea.
We'll be talking about this phenomena in great depth tomorrow, just after lunch at 1 o'clock. But basically, a lot of work has been done with human resonance potentials in the extreme low frequency areas, the spectra of human brainwaves. We found about 200 papers in the open medical literature, non-classified literature, on the effects of magnetic fields on the brainwaves of rats, monkeys, human beings, hamsters, and what have you, and we'll be talking about this tomorrow. In the early 1970s, we did some highly irresponsible experiments, not along the guidelines of health education and welfare. We used human subjects. I was told in no uncertain terms to take the equipment apart, hide the paperwork on it. The government told me this, that they were afraid that the devices would get into the hands of terrorists, bank robbers, political activists, etc. So what we have here today is not the device that we used for our early tests, but a very watered-down version. A simple sine wave, extreme low frequency magnetic field. One of the discoveries that we made is that the two hemispheres of the brain will accept circularly polarized signals. One seems to be dextrorotary, the other lavarotary. These are generated by highly complex orthogonal coils. We do not have the psychoactive device with us, but we have one that will be felt by about 25% of the population. In other words, this is gentle. This is not the atom bomb. This is the firecracker. And we suggest that if anyone in here has epilepsy, we will not hit two specific frequencies that we had on the test. So if anyone had epilepsy in the family, a grandparent, a parent, an aunt, an uncle, might be wise to get a cup of coffee. Otherwise, you call the frequencies and we'll set it up. I don't have that sheet with me.
Okay. Also, in our relationships, just so we do summation as we go along, we're going to start with 4 hertz, 4 cycles per second. We found that the petals of the chakra, of the different chakras of the body, directly correspond to frequencies, give or take fractions of a frequency. And to that end, we're going to start with 4 hertz, 4 cycles per second. This is the base of the spine. So you see the esoteric can tie into the real life. And as soon as he calibrates his device, we'll see if any effect is felt. Okay.
This is a digital frequency counter that lets us set the magnetic oscillator to an accuracy of 0.1 or 01 hertz. That's one event in 100 seconds. The brain, the neurons in the brain have been found to act like long chain liquid crystal dipoles. They have exceedingly high Q, which means that the frequencies are exceedingly narrow band. So this is why we have to use a 3-place digital counter to set them. And this is one of the reasons that this phenomena had not been discovered prior to about 1973 by the people working in physiology, for example, at brain research at UCLA.
The one that is on now is for the base of the spine chakra, or 4 hertz. The 4 petals of the lotus, however you would like to look at it. We are very, very close to 4 hertz. 4.05, 4.04 cycles per second. That's good. This is a purely magnetic wave. There's no sound to it. You can't hear 4 cycles. You could sense it. If something were vibrating at high enough intensity, you could feel 4 cycles.
This is a magnetometer. It's used for checking the strength of magnets. I don't know whether you can see this back here, but we're going to bring it close to the device.
You can see that it is affecting it to exact rate of 4 cycles per second. It's mostly pointing at me right now.
That's going on a north-south axis here.
Right. Now, if you feel anything, you can write down what you feel, and if you do indeed feel it at the base of your spine, or where do you feel it? Do you feel it in your head, in your heart, in your blood pressure? The next one would be 6 cycles, 6 hertz. That would be your splenic center, your spleen chakra. That's very close.
Great.
Go. Right now it's on 6 hertz, 6 cycles. It was interesting to note that these had direct correspondence to the number of petals on the various lotuses of the chakra centers from the ancient writings, and that people did tend to be affected in those areas. I'm not trying to auto-suggest you. I'm just trying to summarize it so it doesn't take all night. Remember, this is purely a magnetic wave, even at 6 hertz. You don't even really start hearing till about 20 hertz or 20 cycles. And most people would have a hard time sensing that low of a vibration without actually feeling it, touching it directly through your body. Want to skip 10, which is solar plexus, or should we? Okay. 10 cycles, solar plexus, will be the next one. Perfect.
Good.
Okay. Right in the old solar plexus. Remember, this is deliberately mild because we don't want to knock everybody out or disrupt their chakra centers, but we do want people aware that these are real things that exist in real life. A very small signal like this can piggyback onto almost any other type of signal and affect you, and you might not even be aware of it. By trying to sense at this time, by trying to create an awareness within yourself of what something like this might feel like, you would have a better understanding of what to guard against, to protect yourself against, if it ever came up again. That would be the throat center.
What about the heart?
I'm skipping that. You really want to hear it? Okay. 12 hertz, heart center.
Yeah.
Right. Beautiful. Can't get any closer. 12.01 cycles per second. That's pretty precise. This is the heart center. Your heart chakra would be affected. 12 petals. It doesn't take long for the electrical fields that we represent as human beings to be locked into these frequencies, and for it to show in real life, in real time, on monitoring equipment such as is used in most any hospital, any doctor's office. Okay, now we'll go for 16, the throat center. That's pretty good. Oh, That's pretty close. This is your throat center, your throat chakra. The 16 petals. This becomes part of the whole third eye system, I believe. Do you go up to 96 on there?
No.
Okay. I'm going to just have to tell you the last two. The third eye is 96 cycles. The top of the head, the crown chakra, is a combination of 12, which is your heart center, in 960 cycles. Now, this is important that you should all get this, retain it, store it, test it, prove it, disprove it. But I think you'll find that it is stand up. From the bottom up, base of spine, 4 hertz, spleen center, 6 hertz, solar plexus, 10 hertz, heart center, 12 hertz, throat center, 16 hertz, the third eye, 96 hertz, top of the head, 12 and 960 hertz or cycles.
Let's close them off at 7.81. Feel very fine.
Okay. This last one we're going to do is 7.81. This is a frequency that in our mind, paranormal states and ESP seem to work between 7.8 to 8.0 cycles.
It's also the maxima of the Schumann resonance, the Earth's ionospheric cavity.
Right, which would allow all of these things to happen, the actual resonant cavity that is the Earth. The next one.
There's no number on the chart. This is gratuitous.
Right.
This is a throwaway.
Number
this is
8.
Oh, okay.
You have 7 on the chart. So.
This would be number 8.
All right. 7 or 8. Right there.
A lot of people, when they're in paranormal states using ESP, work at these frequencies, 7.8 to 8.0, very precise. Takes the kind of precision equipment that Bob Beck has to be able to monitor, because there is so little difference between a cycle per second that unless you're just really in tune, you wouldn't be able to sense it. Now, this is taking, for example, that just between one part of one frequency, one cycle to another part, for example, 5.0 to 5.2, which is not the ones, you can create confusion and anxiety. You know, just a very narrow band. That's not the real frequencies. You can create those types of effects in people at those frequencies. Okay.
We always run the chance of pre-suggesting in a test like this, but those of you who have worked with biofeedback or altered states of consciousness might want to check your internal references at this time. We're at 7.81 hertz for sort of a feeling of calm. It's the alpha-theta border state in the EEG signature. And see how you feel right now. We're going to leave it at this. In other words, we won't put any other frequencies on you after this particular one. This is my favorite. So.
It's a gift from the gods, so to speak. Okay, now I'm going to show you some of the results of the testing as it has taken place in the not too distant past. I'd like to get that in over there. This is the sound alone. By the way, as listed, it was red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet, and white, just straight off the top, the sounds and the colors. Both sets. This was sound alone. I'm probably mostly in the way here. At the bottom would be the percentage of perception. On the right-hand side would be the perception per individual.
We had one person that perceived
1 to 7 was horizontally.
Horizontally, right. One person that perceived absolutely nothing at all. Well, it turns out after we did the testing on this individual that they had had a very strong emotional experience just before they took the test. Okay? We're almost done, Dave.
Okay, we have a little problem. They've got everything set up in the dining room. They're ready to feed us. They got the candle lit and everything. Now, if you want to get another spot and put anything more in another spot, make it. If you want to finish up now, whatever. Up to you.
5 minutes. Okay. Caterers are faster than everything. So we'll cut that a little short. We'll go to the next one, which is color and sound together. They're exactly the same, played in the same sequence. No confusion factor. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet, and white. But the color and sound together and how it was perceived. At the bottom are the increase in percentages of the perception by the people taking the test. You can see there's a noticeable increase with the exception of yellow, which went down 10%. So yellow sound must not be too good. But the rest of them seem to be pretty good. And we'll get real quick here to the summation. Here's their overall summations of the test results. I'm literally running. Accuracy of the color and sounds, they were fairly adequate to good by those that perceived them. Who missed the colors and why? The people missing the colors, they are lacking in their aura or chakra centers. And this seems to be mostly the case, verified using radionics testing and radiesthesia. One person missed all the colors both times, strong emotional turmoil immediately prior to the test. One person scored consistently low. This person was heavily into drugs, and by drugs I mean depressant drugs, drinking and downer type things. And I'm just supposing that this might be used as a diagnostic tool. It doesn't take much technology. To take alone or an improved version of the same could be used as a healing type device for balancing your own colors and your chakras just by hearing it. We found that if we subjected people to color alone prior to the test, that the perception of color and sound were very higher. And we didn't include them on the second combined one because they were so high. We touched ELF very briefly, extra low frequencies, especially from the magnetic aspect. We'll run this by real quick. That's it. And the electromagnetic spectrum from top to bottom. Very low frequency, 0 to 10 kilohertz actually. They've divided that down to super low and extra low, I guess, now. And some of the effects, phenomena that we're aware of, the audible sound, 20 hertz to 20 kHz. The supernatural or supernormal phenomena takes place, a lot of it, in the infrared and the ultraviolet. The light, visible light. But how about everything else? What's there? It's affecting us. And I think we'll just sum it up that way, that everything within the spectrum does affect us. The motor noises, the heavy disco beats, the light, the color schemes of our rooms, the radio waves from all of the different radio stations and television stations and radar stations, all working in the different frequencies, microwaves up through here, or right here, I should say, just before. It's hard to point. All the way down to the radio waves, normal radio, FM, AM, all different ways. It's hitting us all the time. What's it doing to us if these different waves that we've shown can affect you in different ways? And tomorrow we'll talk about defense. Okay? Thank you very much.